genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Ah, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Billy the Brain, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ AM 1400 or streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people have to say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, then you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 805-639-0008, 805-639-0008. Now, before we get into today's show, I've got a couple of shout-outs. First of all, big shout-out to Gerald, who's a longtime listener of the show. Thank you, Gerald, for your commitment and also for your kind words about the new trend that we've got in positive talk radio here on KKZZ. And another shout-out to Ed Hat Ventura. If you haven't heard of Ed Hat Ventura, they're at edhatventura.com. They are our new local news source. They're taking a run at the newspapers here in Ventura County. They've been very successful with Ed Hat in Santa Barbara. In fact, Ed Hat Santa Barbara has become the number two periodical just behind the Independent in Santa Barbara County. Now they've moved down here to Ventura. Check it out. They carry nothing but local news, weather, and sports. And Billy the Brain advertises there, so every day you can go to Ed Hat Ventura and you can see the guests appearing on each show. And those of you who are regular listeners know that every show has a theme, and our theme today is health and well-being. My first guest is going to help us work on our well-being. Now tell me, what do all of these men have in common? John Edwards, David Letterman, Michael Jordan, Bill Clinton, Mark Sanford, Rick Pitino, and Tiger Woods. We'll find out in just a minute. My first guest has studied men, women, and their mating rituals and has come to some very interesting conclusions, what he calls the Tiger Woods syndrome. Dr. Rick Richards has a Bachelor of Arts degree in Communication Studies from UCLA. In addition to studying interpersonal and mass communications, he's honed his skills in evaluating information from a life science curriculum and earned a doctorate in dental surgery from Northwestern University, a very prestigious university. Dr. Richards serves as a moderator and a small group facilitator for 12-step program on codependency. Welcome to the show, Doc. How are you today?
Great. How you doing, Billy?
Well, terrific, and glad to have you here. So, why did you write this book, and what is your background in this field? If you've got a background in dentistry, you know, how'd you come to write this book?
Well, I originally was a communication study major in college, and it really interpersonal communication fascinated me as well as mass media. And what I discovered after I got out of dental school, even in dental school, was this sort of pattern that the guys in my class were going through. And when I got out, I started noticing it more and more. And that got me to start writing down what I was seeing, the observations. And originally, I was going to make it as sort of a funny book, like, you know, like the Jeff Foxworthy book, you know, You're a Redneck.
Right.
Thing. And then I started looking at this. I had about 450 different characteristics of how guys act when they're dating and married and whatnot, and I realized maybe this is a little more serious, and that's when I started doing some research and realized this was a recent thing in the last 100 years. Things had changed drastically, and that's when I brought in a psychiatrist, Dr. Jerry Bruns, to co-write the book, because obviously as a dentist, no one's going to listen to what I have to say. They only care what I think about teeth. So that's when I brought him in, and he found that the topic was definitely worth investigating, and then we worked together and came up with the current book that we have out.
Well, your book is titled The Tiger Woods Syndrome, which immediately caught my attention. The subtitle is Why Men Prowl and How to Not to Become Prey. So it's a very interesting, provocative title. My question is, do you know Tiger Woods personally? And if not, how can you write a book about him if you've never met him?
Well, we don't know Tiger, but what we're basically saying is this is a larger-than-life figure, and although his exact personal situation is unique, he's not alone, and there's millions of American men that are going through this very thing he does of living the dual life. For instance, today we saw in the paper that Rick Pitino had to go to court to explain how a father of five and a man of incredibly well thought of in the sports world had a little fling with a barmaid on the in the after hours there, and how he got extorted for money from her. So yeah. There's a lot of Tiger Woods going on. He's just an example of a thing we see. Mel Gibson, you know, now he's getting extorted apparently from his girlfriend. He left a marriage of 20-some years and 8 or 9 kids. I mean, we see this over and over and over again. And over the last 20 years, I sort of chronicled this, and I mean, the Clinton years, I mean, you're going back to JFK, this goes back quite a ways, but we definitely see it in our political leaders, we see it in our religious leaders. I went to a church in Simi Valley, and the pastor had 3 young kids, a beautiful wife, and one day he didn't show up, and they announced, he had a little thing with the secretary, and he'll no longer be working here.
Wow.
And
yeah.
Calvary Community Church, it's a great church up in Thousand Oaks, there in Westlake area, they lost 2 straight pastors to the same incident. So it's not a thing. I've heard people say, oh, it's just a thing that movie stars do, because I had a list of hundreds of movie stars that go through this. And then they go, oh, it's just sports figures. It's just politicians. No, it's in Ventura County, not just in Washington or New York or Hollywood.
It's right here in our own backyard. We're talking to Dr. Rick Richards, everybody. Now, let's get right into it. What exactly is it that you term the Tiger Woods syndrome?
Well, basically, it's a syndrome about relationships that have evolved over the last 3 or 4 generations, and these relationships are based on what we call artificial intimacy, and they usually progress through 5 stages. And by artificial intimacy, what we mean is that relationships today are basically based on looks and charm, and this is a big, big change from 100 years ago when character and common interests were the most important thing.
Okay. Now, why have things changed over the last 100 years? I mean, that seems like a very finite period of time. Why did things change so radically?
Well, the courtship of America basically changed from Europe after the Revolutionary War, and it was a radical new thing that women and men chose freely instead of being ordained, you know, like in Romeo and Juliet or something, where they had to marry in the family or, you know, merge with another family or something for economic reasons or whatever. This became like a radical new thing. But unfortunately for women, they were still stuck in these what we call patriarchal marriages where once you got married, you had these roles, you had to do them, you had to have lots of kids. You know, you basically live around on a farm or something, so your kids were your labor. You know, it was kind of not the greatest thing in the world for a woman because she was pretty much stuck in it. It was for life. And so what happened was during the suffragette movement in the early 1920s, when, as you recall, women were fighting for the right to vote, this idea of a new kind of marriage came up, and it was called companionate marriage. And companionate marriage, it's 2 co-equals. There aren't assigned roles. Those are negotiated. The woman may work. The man may work. It's what we have today, basically. There's plenty of house husbands, Mr. Moms, you know, like the Michael Keaton movie. Well, that didn't used to exist. That was can be considered radical in 1920. But that's when it first started, this idea that no one had a role and that you only stayed in the marriage as long as you were getting your needs met.
All right. Now, let me stop you right there, Doc. Let's hit the pause button because I want to come back and talk about several of the things you said. And then we will get into the 5 steps or the 5 patterns of behavior in just a minute. But looking back historically, monogamy really didn't come around in marriage until the invention of wealth. And monogamy was just a way for a person to transfer his wealth or to his heirs and to know that those heirs were, in fact, his. So, I mean, that goes all the way back to medieval times. Now, I guess what I'm trying to get at here, with the invention of money and everything else, it was a way of ensuring pass along. So how did the 1920s or even the last century, how did that become so pivotal in our changing of getting to what you call companionate marriage?
Well, the media was a huge spark of this, because you remember 1914, Birth of a Nation came on. That was the first big motion picture. And these pictures really affected people. I can remember my grandmother saying that when she was in Arizona in 1930 and this movie Frankenstein came out, she was terrorized that this monster was really going to get her. So we're so kind of jaded by the media now, we don't realize what an effect it has on us. But the media of movies and then music, of course, really glorified this new way of doing things. A lot of the philosophers today, like Bertrand Russell, H.L. Mencken, they all pushed this idea of being modern, was to date in a modern way. Don't be that old courtship stuff. You need to go out there and live and, you know, go out to the speakeasy and you see some cute girl, you know, that'll be your wife, that kind of thing.
Well, now, interesting. So you're saying that media shapes the society rather than media reflects what the society is doing. You don't think that these movies and even these authors of the time were simply, in a way, reporting what they saw?
Well, I think there is both, but I think that the media really pushed it. And I think that what you have in the media is this phenomena that I think Michael Medved even talked about, that when you have really good-looking people doing things that are sort of reprehensible, you pretty soon you start thinking, hey, maybe that's not so bad. And that's what happened with this, was a behavior that originally would never have been thought of, which is, you know, to base it, you know, because let's face it, 100 years ago, you were stuck down on a farm with this person the rest of your life. You didn't have TV, you didn't have movies, you didn't have the internet. You better get along with this person. Well, by the 20s, it's, hey, we're modern, we live in the cities, we're rah, 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 and, you know, we'll just live for the moment. Who cares what tomorrow may bring? And that's what the media always gives us. It gives us this live for the moment, meet your immediate need. That's what all the commercials on TV are about. Teen movies. I mean, it's all about living for now.
Oh, I love it. We're talking to Dr. Rick Richards, everybody, and he's got a new book called The Tiger Woods Syndrome. Doc, we've got a break for some business right now, but when we come back, I want you to think about this while we're on our commercial break. Let's get into the five stages of patterns of behavior that you have in the Tiger Woods Syndrome so we can spell that out in case somebody might be stuck in a relationship, a Tiger Woods type relationship. Don't answer that now. We'll answer it when we come back after this short break.
And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Billy the Brain. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day here on KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. We're on from 10 to 11 every day. My special guest today is Dr. Rick Richards. He's written a book called The Tiger Woods Syndrome, Why Men Prowl and How Not to Become Prey. Before we went away to the break, Doc, we were talking about the five patterns of behavior that you need to be aware of in the Tiger Woods Syndrome. Would you break it down for us? What are those five patterns?
Sure. The first one is we call artificial intimacy, and that's where physical attraction, charms emphasized over compatibility. And second stage, to keep the relationship going, the guy will use approval seeking to meet all her needs and basically stuff his own. And that's when the trouble starts. And in the third stage, the man basically chooses between his old true self and this new self he's presenting to the girl. And in the fourth stage is basically what we call the honeymoon, where everything's great. And he goes, man, this worked out great. And in the fifth stage, basically that's when you have to pay for the deception. And that's when the resentment starts building up in the guy, and he realizes that maybe he picked someone he maybe is not his soulmate after all. I always use Alec Baldwin as the great example of this. He was talking on the David Letterman show, and basically was talking about how he wooed Kim Basinger using this persona he called Mr. Sensitive. And he said that they went to this wonderful restaurant that he always used to go to, and it had this wonderful Oso Buco that he just loved to order there. And so he immediately notices Kim kind of frowning as she looks at the menu and says, well, you know, I'm a vegan. I don't know if there's anything here I can eat. He goes, oh, well, you know, I'm a vegan too. But what exactly is that? And he goes, oh, you know, you can't have any meat, no animal products. And he looks and goes, oh, look at my belt. You know, it's imitation leather. I am a vegan. What do you know? And so he had to live this life where every day he would come home and he called what he had spicy dust, beans and rice every day. And for the early part of the relationship was great. You know, oh, I give up this. Why not? And then eventually he would make a quick stop at a light, and the In-N-Out rappers would come running out from underneath his seat, and Kim would pretend not to see them. He basically, you know, wanted to go back to what he really was, but he had painted himself as this guy who didn't really care about eating meat, and it could be as subtle as that.
All right. Now, the Alec Baldwin example is a good one, because you're talking in the book, The Tiger Woods Syndrome, about those five steps. So the artificial intimacy step, where he is essentially lying in order to get to woo Kim Basinger, and that's where it all begins. So the relationship is founded on a lie, right?
Yeah, but we don't see. I grew up with this. This is what we saw. You know, I grew up in the era when Happy Days was on and the Fonz, and this is how you get the chick. So good guys were taught to do this. All my friends and I, we thought, you know, you be what they want you to be. It's not really lying. It's just sort of shading. And that's you, and then you immediately get stuck in this pressure of trying to live up to whatever shade you're going with. It can be that subtle. I had a friend that ended up getting married to a woman that every Sunday they had ham dinner, and my friend I knew hated ham, but he had to pretend to like it every Sunday because he had sold himself as loving it when they first met.
All right. Well, let's delve into this artificial intimacy, because that's where the dating process and everything else begins on that. So how would you avoid falling into the trap of artificial intimacy?
Well, the main thing is you have to use dating, not as most guys look at dating as I got to find somebody. As long as they look halfway decent, I'll take anybody. You know, it's like they're in the store and just grabbing stuff off the shelf.
Well, it's sort of the caveman conquest concept. You know, we go out, we find a mate, we see a mate, we find a mate, we club her over the head, we bring her back to the cave.
Right. But unfortunately, then you're stuck with the mate. Now, if it was just for a short term, and that's why we say if all you want to do is go out and have fun, you know, this book really isn't for you. But if you want to have a serious relationship where you're going to be with one person, you know, for a long time, then you need to pick somebody you're really going to have, you know, be compatible with as far as your personality type, because everybody has different personality types, and what maybe the person I would like you wouldn't like, you know, and you have to find that out basically by trial and error. Which kind of person do you like the best?
All right, so you've got to kiss a lot of princes,
you know,
a lot of frogs to find a prince.
You have.
All right. Well, but help me to understand this, Doc, because, you know, I'm going to get Darwin on you right now, because Darwin in The Origin of the Species says our primary goal as men is to perpetuate the species. And in order to do that, we've got to go out there and sort of spread our genes as many different ways as we can and let nature take its course. The genes are going to land where they're going to land, and then that's how the species evolve. That is our primal blueprint right there. So what you're saying is that we need to go against our primal blueprint in order to be monogamous and to have one of these lasting relationships, aren't you?
Well, what we have is, do we subordinate our male sexual urge for the greater good of society and for women? Because that's basically the conflict we've had here. And the way it's gone from a situation 100 years ago where marriage was very stable. For all its problems, the patriarchal marriage system was incredibly stable, and it turned out lots of kids, their parents were there, you know, but, you know, maybe the woman wasn't always so happy in it. Well, now we've gone the other way, where everything's in the guy's corner, basically. Today's women are so dissatisfied with men, because men can do whatever they want. Women have complete equality pretty much in the workplace. I know there are some exceptions, but pretty much. There's more women than men in dental schools now, law schools, on and on.
That's true of all colleges and all professions, yeah.
But what we have is we have women that are really not too happy the way things are now. You see it in Bridget Jones' Diary, you see it in Sex and the City. All this chick lit is the way that women are expressing their frustration.
Well, I'm going to use that against you, because earlier you were saying the media shapes our perceptions. So isn't that just another way, and we use Sex and the City, we use Bridget Jones' Diary. Aren't those just ways to manipulate women into thinking a certain way?
Well, I think they're more of a underground cry for help, because the women's movement really isn't for this. They consider marriage to be slavery. The women's movement, when we think of it, say, in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, the Eric Jong types, the Betty Friedans, all them, they looked at marriage as an enslaving thing, and they were hoping by now it pretty much be evolved away.
Interesting, interesting. Well, I want to go back to the turn of the century, and you hearken that as the glory days with stable marriages and so forth. What we're missing in that equation, though, is lifespans were a lot shorter. Yeah, we were together forever and ever till death do us part, but death did us apart a lot earlier. Males at the turn of the century, 1900, were living to be 47 years old. So a lifelong marriage was from age 18 to age 48, let's say 30-year marriage, which isn't bad even by today's standards, but it wasn't like we have to face today, where we're going to go into our 90s and possibly even to our 100s with our mate.
Yeah, that's true. It does last a lot longer, and that's why you're seeing so many women like Tipper Gore initiating a divorce when they're 50s or 60s, because they feel emotionally abandoned at that age. And the kids are finally gone. The excitement of career is winding down. And they're going, is this all there is? I didn't finally realize I'm married to a stranger. I don't even like this guy. What am I doing with him?
Well, we're talking to Rick Richards, everybody. He's the author of the book, The Tiger Woods Syndrome, The Five Characteristics of the Syndrome, Artificial Intimacy, Approval Seeking from the Female, Choosing Your Old Life or Old Self versus Your New Self, The Honeymoon Phase, and finally, Payment for the Deception. Now, let's bring it down. We've only got about a minute left, Doc. Let's bring it down to what is the critical thing? In your book, you talk about something known as the mirage man. What is it that is a mirage man, and what do women need to avoid when they're looking at men so that they don't end up with a mirage man?
Basically, mirage man is the guy who will pretend to be Prince Charming to you. And what you got to really watch out is sometimes you give it away to him. If you go out with someone on the first or second date and tell him your whole life story, he knows how to reflect what you want now. He'll be what you're looking for. If you want a likable rogue or a Mr. Sensitive, a Prince Charming or a jock or whatever it is, he'll be that for you. So you really have to watch it and have your own interests and allow him to kind of express himself. Don't give him all these clues so he just keeps being a chameleon to what you tell him.
But aren't women generally more sharing, more open? They want to talk about their lives. They want to talk about what they're feeling, and that comes out on the dates.
Well, they need to hold back a little bit, because basically what they're doing is they're giving it away too soon, and these guys are like, hey, great, I'll do all these things you want. Get the guy to talk, and don't give him any clues on how he should answer. Let him go out on this, for instance, if say, oh, what do you think about this thing about the whales and that they're going to allow them to hunt them again? See what he says. He goes, oh, I'm really against that.
Oh, Doc, you're making it sound like a job interview all of a sudden.
Oh, you got to be a little careful now. There's a lot of guys, and this is what Dr. Bruns talks about. There's a lot of sociopaths out there, and they base their whole prey on women on quickness.
Quickness?
Time women.
How is that? How does quickness play into that?
Dr. Bruns says that most sociopaths don't have the patience to hang in there in a long-term slow relationship. They figure they'll get immediate results. If they don't get it from you, they'll go to somebody else. So be careful.
I see. All right. Very interesting. In your book, The Tiger Woods Syndrome, Why Men Prowl and How Not to Become Prey. Very interesting book. Now, Doc, where is the book available?
We have it at Borders and on Amazon.com and at HCI, our publisher's website, too.
At HCI, Borders, and Amazon.com. Can you find it in the local bookstores as well?
It depends on which stores, but those are the main chains.
Those are the main chains. All right. It's been a delight talking with you, Doc. We've been talking to Dr. Rick Richards, everybody, author of the book, The Tiger Woods Syndrome. The time just flies by too fast. We didn't have enough to dig into all of the details. If you want more of the details, go out. You can find his book at Amazon, Borders, or at the HCI Publishers website itself. Doc, thanks so much for being our guest today. We'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, thank you, Billy.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.